It's Vans on Patrol time. It's Vans on Patrol time.
This is Anna from the Pop Prism Power Podcast, and this is the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network.
253, episode 253. Title of the show is Red Sea Diving Resort. Believe that.
So hard to say.
Ain't it so hard to say? And it's a patrol time.
I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me, indeed, is the sensitory one herself, Miss Tiffelbot. How are you, Tiff?
I am feeling good. I'm glad to be back.
Yes,
how are
indeed.
You?
Indeed. Oh, man, just lonely. Been missing my posse. Been missing my entire posse. Been no Dwayne, no Tiff. Solo shows in the wilderness by myself, like Moses just wandering the wilderness and stuff. Goodness, I'm glad you're back. And we just got to get Smooth back, because there is no S-M-O-O-V-E spell Smooth, not Dwayne. I had to say that for the Smooth fans out there all the way. And I'm surprised I said it right. Anyway, man, it's good to have you back, man. You know, we had a nice show last week with some guests. You know, we had DJ Giff and we had Big Pan Kim, who wrote a nice little article. And, you know, he wouldn't let us forget it, you know. But what's up to Ken out there?
Of course, if you write something, I'll let everybody know.
Indeed, man. You know, we share the stuff. And if I put it on Fans of Patrol website, that's our biggest draw of anything we do. Like, more people go to fansofpatrol.com than anything that we do, you know. And so if it's on there, you in good business. So, man, we have a decent show. Now, you know, I know D23 is this weekend. It's this weekend, man. But we're recording like on the first day, man. So we have some juicy D23 news, but we're going to save it all for one, you know, one thing. And it'll be old news by the time we get it. But we'll talk about it with the Fans of Patrol spin. So just hold on to your cheeks. It's coming. This week, man, this is a Tiffelbot day, man. So Tiff, yes. What are we talking about this week?
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about Sony Spider-Man news.
Of course we are. We wouldn't be a podcast.
Of course, probably the biggest news that happened last week.
Indeed.
We're going to talk a little bit about Underwater, new movie Underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are also going to talk a little bit about some Birds of Prey / John Wick news.
We got some of that good stuff. And yeah. After that, we're going to do our comic. We haven't hit this one in a while, Tiff. This is your boy.
Middle West. I'm so excited to be back with it.
Middle West. Now, are we caught up or are we behind now?
We won behind, so we're not even really that far behind.
Okay, because we caught up on Guardians of the Galaxy last week and actually finished the 6th saga arc, man, you know. So it was good, man. So we back with Middle West. And for our main topic, the Red Sea Diving Resort, available on Netflix. Check it out, starring Captain America himself, Chris Evans, and, you know, what's the guy from The Wire? I forgot his name.
Oh, I've never seen The Wire. I didn't know that was a guy from The Wire.
Oh, that's Omar. Everybody know Omar.
Ben Kingsley in it as well.
Ben Kingsley was in this movie. All I could think of was, hello, my name is Trevor. Anyway, we got to get the show going, man. I'm already cracking jokes and stuff like that. Saying all that beautiful stuff. Are you ready to roll?
Absolutely.
Let's go. All right, man, so I'm tired of Spider-Man. It's been all week long, you know what I'm saying?
And they keep changing their fucking story.
Yeah, man. So for those who are uninitiated, man, I'll just get right into it. So we got some, you know, sad news. Cue the sad somebody dead music. There we go. So we got news that Spider-Man, you know, if the first bit of news was that Kevin Feige will no longer be associated with the, you know, the Sony Homecoming Spider-Man, Tom Holland, because right. he had other projects that was going on that needed his full attention.
Yes, so they say.
Yeah, that was, it had bullshit written all over it. And so, so everybody was like, what's going on? And quickly they announced that, you know, Disney and Sony have not reached an agreement and what's happening. Then really quickly after that, they said Sony, the deal that Sony and Disney had was that Disney would, you know, be the creative influence over the Spider-Man property. They would share it. And the share was, you know, was a Disney, you know, throw your cheeks on the table and just kiss it. Because they had, 5% of the profits of Spider-Man, and Sony took all the rest, 95%.
Yeah.
But for the rich man at the table, it's like, whatever. So they made one movie, two movies, three movies, four movies with Tom Holland. They made Civil War, they made Avengers, and they made Spider-Man Homecoming and Far From Home. So they made five movies with, you know, him under the Disney influence
umbrella.
Of Kevin. Yeah, right. So then the next part came out that said, hey, you know, Marvel, Disney, you know, now they're saying, listen, we want 50% because this character, he made $1 billion, 1.1 for Sony. Became Spider-Man Far From Home became the highest grossing Sony movie ever. And
yes.
Tifflebot, do you know what the second movie was until then? The first one until then?
Was it also Spider-Man?
No, it was James Bond, not Spectre. What, I think it was it Spectre? No, not Spectre.
Casino Royale?
No, not Casino Royale.
I have no idea. You know I don't watch those movies.
Homefall.
Skyfall.
Skyfall. Skyfall was their highest grossing movie ever for Sony. And I was
that's crazy.
Very surprised about that, you know.
Yeah.
But now, you know, Far From Home, they hit the $1.1 billion and stuff. And so, you know, Sony's like, oh, we're a powerhouse.
And they, you know, the Disney, yeah?
No, you're not. No, you're not. You made 95% of the $1.1 million because you were part of this larger thing.
Yes.
And it was great. We loved Tom Holland. We loved the whole thing. We loved Happy. We loved Aunt May. We loved everything. And then you had this cliffhanger at the end of Spider-Man, which just pulled us in even more. And so a deal couldn't be reached, Tifflebot. It couldn't be reached.
I got to be honest. When I read this article, it was a little hard to understand. The whole process is very businessy. It's very, you know, this are deals and the 50% and the rate of investment and the whatever. It's all very businessy talk, and it's hard to understand. But correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding is they would take the profit, but they would also be 50% responsible for the costs. That was the deal.
It wasn't a bad deal. You are correct.
No, that's not bad. Like, 50-50 isn't bad. And then, like, I get where both sides are coming from because, like, probably – like, I don't get where Disney's coming from because Disney – well, because they have the power, so they can be whatever they want. But, like, they don't need the money. But Fox does need the money, so
not
they're probably
Fox, not
looking
Fox,
to siphon some of that off.
Sony, yeah.
Yes, yes. Sony's looking to siphon some of that off to, like, their other projects.
Yeah, but Sony, you wouldn't have the success without Marvel. So 5% is no kind of partnership whatsoever. I'm just sorry. It's nothing. You know, did you counter with 45, 35, you know what I'm saying? We don't know the behind the scenes. You know, I would even think 35% even or 40% would even be something. Now listen, if I got a property that wasn't making, you know, I don't know what the other Spider-Man movies made. You know, they might have made a lot of money, but the future money wasn't going to happen with those things because, like, you know, with the second Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man movie was so terrible. I think if they would have came out with a third, it wouldn't have made any money, you know, no real money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was a sweetheart deal. It was a beautiful thing. Never before happened in movie history. And now they're killing it off. So there's two more Spider-Man movies left.
Yes.
And they could be fine because, you know, if you just keep everything that was not Marvel in the last movie, then you would get rid of any reference to Tony Stark, which would kind of suck because I don't think a Peter Parker, this Peter Parker, would forget Tony Stark that quickly, you know.
Right.
And then you had Samuel Jackson, you know, as Nick Fury. So that would
Happy.
Be gone. That would be gone. Happy to me, which is the most important thing with Aunt May. Yeah, you can do some cheap ass stuff and say, oh, yeah, that didn't work out. Happy's gone. I don't talk to him no more. Now I'm back to old suits. And we would be like, you bastards. You know what I'm saying? Because we would not like that, because what they developed was gold, man. You know, it was just gold, cinema gold. And so I have one breath of hope left, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's D23 is this weekend. And I'm hoping, I'm in my heart, Tiffelbutt, in my heart of hearts, I'm sitting here thinking to myself and I'm saying, I hope that they in a room full of suits, smoking cigars, cussing, talking crap, and they work something out before this weekend is over with so they can announce it, that we have reconciled, we got something that we can work with, and we're at least going to finish these next two movies, because it's more to it than the next two movies. You know, it's, you know, we want to see Spider-Man where he belongs in that universe, where he's been.
Right.
And it's weird when Spider-Man is the lone hero in a universe. You know what I'm saying? It's just weird. The Tobey Maguire movies was cool, but, and he has his role gallery, but they don't even own the whole role gallery. You know, it's like, how much can you do? You know, and you can feel the boundaries of these movies that the other studios don't own. That's all I'm saying. You know?
Yeah, I agree. You can really feel that they're not reaching, and they're not, their full potential isn't there.
No, exactly. And no, I don't, I blame Marvel for all of this. Back in the day when y'all started having fire sales, selling shit off left and right. You know, sell us to this one, sell us to this one. I think that James Cameron was supposed to do a Spider-Man movie first a long time ago, right after T2. You know, that's how, when all this shit started, way back in the day, Marvel was bankrupt and shit went everywhere. And these studios are never going to give this stuff up now, you know, unless they go bankrupt. Like, well, they didn't go bankrupt, but get bought out like Fox. And Disney's not doing good at all without Tom Holland's Spider-Man. They're just not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The other things they've come up with has been nothing. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if internationally, like the United States, has the judicial power to even stop a company like Disney at this point, because it's international. You know, you're a conglomerate. You're a what do you call it? What do they call that when you, which you can't do? Not a conglomerate. It is a conglomerate, but you know, when you own everything.
And, oh, a monopoly.
A monopoly. That shit don't exist no more, right? Because you can just put your headquarters offshore and say, kiss my ass, you know?
It's very scary a little bit to see how much they own. And maybe it's kind of nice that this one little company, well, not little, it's not little by any means, but like it's saying, yeah, too bad.
Yeah, but why Spidey?
I know. You know? That's all they got. That's all they got.
That's all they got. Well, they got James Bond, you know, so.
Yeah, but that's not nowhere near as, well, I guess it was the next highest grossing.
It was their next, yeah, and Skyfall of all things, you know? I was like, wow, really? Okay. So they have another James Bond coming out, so they're going to make a little dough like that. You know, I love James Bond, man. Cue that dope-ass James Bond music. Thank you very much. I love putting on my tuxedo and, you know, driving my car fast. And anyway, you know, so it's bad news, Tiff. It's bad news.
It is.
You know?
It's bad news for fans.
Right. It's been so good. Damn. Bastards. Ugh, I hate rich people. Hate you, fuckers. Oh, excuse me. I don't cuss on this show. So, anyway, man, I think that's it for the Disney news. It just it pisses me off, man. You know, and I'm sure it's pissing off a lot of people. But I do have hope that maybe this weekend might give
us
something.
That would be really very sneaky of them, and I would applaud them greatly if they did that.
Right. They don't even need to do that, though, you know.
I know. They don't have. They already have our money. They don't care.
Right. God damn it. It's just such a nice universe they built. Oh, my God. So, let's move on, Tiffelbot. We can talk about this forever. So, what do we got next, man?
So, the next thing is a little maybe off radar. It's not normal. We do talk about horror movies, and October is coming up. However, this is not an October release.
It's coming. It is coming next month.
Yes, here it comes. Here it comes.
Who can't wait? But go ahead.
So this is a movie called Underwater. Very similar to Space Scaries.
Very similar to that Shakoff movie, right?
Yeah. So, you know, any of the Abyss or Sphere or
I didn't like Sphere.
Event Horizon.
I didn't like Event Horizon.
I didn't like Sphere. I love Event Horizon. I also love Sphere. I like Sphere more.
Yeah, really? Remember that with Sam Jackson and
Dustin
Hoffman?
Yeah.
You remember Leviathan, like in the 80s, late 80s, no, early 90s?
I haven't seen that.
Leviathan, that and Sphere, all that shit was coming out all the same. It was all like underwater, we're in trouble stuff. So
in this movie, it looks like they're sending some scientists down. It's very much similar. They made it in this article a lot of comparisons to Aliens, and I can see that.
How come they don't look like scientists? How come they look like a bunch of jackoffs? I'm just saying.
And it's kind of like, okay, so I'm assuming they're scientists, because why else would you do this?
Right.
But the way that they were sending them down there in the trailer made it almost sound like they were prisoners.
They're like, you're going down seven, you know, first of all.
Wake up. You're going down 7 meters or 7 meters. 7 feet.
You would die, you know.
You get crushed.
You can't do that. Anyway, it's science fiction. So what are you thinking about this thing?
It looks creepy enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in movies like this, I am more involved in, like, I enjoy a psychological thriller. I don't like seeing the monster.
Really?
Yeah, because the monster usually ends up looking like shit.
Well, the glimpse that I saw looked pretty decent.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree, but, like, you don't really see the monster. You just kind of get a glimpse of it.
Yes.
So, and, you know, it's got some... So, T.J. Miller is a problem.
Because of his Me Too crap?
Well, he did something bad.
He did some more bad?
Well, he just did that thing,
Which
is bad.
Okay, yeah, you know. We all F up, though, Tifflebot, you know. I'm not giving him a pass. I'm just saying we all F up and stuff.
So regardless of his stuff, I mean, it still looks pretty good.
I don't know.
What are your thoughts on it? Because I don't know if this is a you thing or not.
I like how he was like, hey, we're getting it on. And the music changed immediately. You know, and I'm like, goodness. Okay, so a few things here. I don't think I really like Kristen Stewart. I think I've come to that realization. I don't think I want to see her in movies. But anyway. You know, it's always her mouth hanging open and stuff. It's just crazy. She's just always like, you know, and I'm always like, close your damn mouth. If I was on set, I would just like touch her chin and push it up.
The thing is, I do wonder how, like, I used to think she was a really bad actress, and I wonder if I've changed my opinion, but it's been a while since I've seen her in anything.
I've changed my opinion. I don't think she's a bad actress. I just don't care for her. She actually... It looks pretty confident, and I think she's a pretty decent actress, to be honest with you. But, okay, so the trailer starts, T.J. Miller's doing this, and, you know, for some reason, I still like the guy. You know, I'm not saying I like him, you know what I'm saying? But the characters he plays, I always like, you know what I'm saying? It has nothing to do with the man himself, you know? And so when he's being him, I'm like, okay, that's cool, because it brings a little levity and a little comedy and a little, you know, easiness. And I'm digging this Tifflebot, you know. I don't even like Kristen Stewart, but I like the look they got her in, you know, because she has that almost androgynous look in this thing, you know, like, you know.
Yeah, that's her new thing.
Yeah, that's her new thing, because she looks like that in Charlie's Angels, too, which was a problem for me, because I was like, okay, is this just, okay, what's happening now? You know what I'm saying? Like, because if you look like that in one movie and you look another way in another movie, you're like, oh, that's an actress, you know? But now it's like, is this just you?
you know what I'm saying? I can see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And so it looked great, man. I'm like, looking at this, but I'm going to tell you why it looked great. You know, the action started. I'm like, okay, I'm into this shit, because I'm sitting here. And I said, oh, this is just like that Katie Shackoff crap. And so, you know, I can dig this. You know, I think I'll watch that, and then I'll watch this on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, but it's not Netflix.
It's not Netflix, Tiffo.
No, it's a theatrical release.
Which torpedoed it for me.
You would not get out of your house for this.
No! Netflix.
This is on the couch movie.
I'm thinking that I'm watching this next week. I'm like, okay, cool. Next week, this will be out and I can watch this. And this is going to be a good Netflix movie. That's exactly what I was thinking until I saw, you know, when it was going to come out. And I was like,
January.
I was like, I'm not going to give a shit about this. You know,
it's a bad time to release. Don't release a horror movie in January.
Yeah, you got Halloween coming up right here. So, you know, it looked great. For a Netflix movie, I was very excited. But then when I saw theater, I was like, I could care less now. Honestly. I could give a rat's ass because for a theater release, I think that the amount of money put into it could be way higher to be in a theater. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I can see what you're saying. It does. You know, when I say that it seems like Sphere, it's because it seems, not that it looks old, but it has kind of like an aged, like, I feel like I could have seen this movie a while ago.
This movie could have been produced 10 years ago and you'd have been like, oh, cool. You know?
Right.
But now, I mean, you just had Paradox.
Cloverfield.
Cloverfield Paradox. This looks like Cloverfield Paradox, you know? And that was just a Netflix thing, you know? And so when I realized it wasn't Netflix, I was out. So I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see this.
I hate TJ Miller. Unlike you, I think he's scummy. I mean, I'm sure you also think he's scummy. But so that kind of dampened it for me. Also, if I think it looks good, like you said, it looks like an okay Netflix movie. But like, even though it's not a Netflix movie, no, I agree.
It's not a Netflix movie.
I wouldn't get out of my PJs for this. Do you know what I mean?
But Kristen Stewart, no way.
But I also think if I'm gonna watch this movie, feels like if I'm gonna watch this, I might as well watch Sphere
or something sweeter like The Abyss or something like that, you know,
just, or like Deep Blue Sea
or just Deep Blue Sea or the Alligator Movie.
Oh yeah, or Crawl. Perfect, any of those will do.
Yeah, once I saw that it was in the theaters, I was like, no way. And if they're smart, they'll get a bad, you know, people will be like, you know, because sometimes they'll advertise this stuff. And then next thing you know, it ended up on Netflix. Netflix will buy it before they release it and stuff and, you know, do their thing.
Oh, sure. I don't think that this is going to do well at all.
Hell no. First of all, Kristen Stewart is not a draw. Second of all, there's nothing else about this that would be a draw that would just be piling people into the theaters unless there's nothing happening. But a nothing happening is a phenom that happens not in the wintertime, you know?
In order for me to see this in the theater, I would literally have to be at the movie theater. And then they're like, oh no, there's a snowstorm and nobody can leave. You have to watch movies here for free. And the only one we have left is underwater.
So see you later.
And you'd be like, I guess I'm just going to try to walk home.
Yeah, I mean, I would watch it if I was there. Listen, I was excited when I thought it was a streaming movie. And then when I saw it wasn't, I was like, oh, the hell with this, man. I mean, honestly, that's my honest opinion about it. So no longer excited. So
no, thanks.
Goodbye. Right. I'm through. I'm out. So what else we got going on, Tifflebot?
So our last bit of news is a little short story. It's not very long, but it's, for me, it's very exciting because so the Birds of Prey movie is getting a little bit of a punch up from the director of John Wick, Chad Stahelski, I think is how you say his name.
I believe you are correct.
He is going to do some fighting punch ups. So like he's going to come in and he's going to like take the fights they've already filmed or maybe they have not filmed yet. And he's going to make them more exciting, more John Wickish.
Now, I have a lot to say about this, Tifflebot.
All right,
taking your words. DC. One, I forgot all about this project.
Which is so you're not that excited about it.
Which is bad. I'm really not excited. I never watched a TV show. I never read the comic book. I know what it's totally about. But, you know, the DC thing is such in flux right now. Funny enough, Tifflebot, I watched Batman versus Superman, a 3-hour version this week.
Okay.
And then after that, man, I watched the Justice League. And then after that, I watched Wonder Woman. I finished that up last night. So I started watching the DC stuff. And I don't know why, but I think I was examining it, you know? And the Batman versus Superman, damn, that movie was dark. It was like so dark when it was unnecessarily dark. Even the last fight at the end of the movie was in the dark. You know, it was like shit. And, you know, Justice League, they tried to lighten it up a little bit, but, you know, that I think that was a Joss Whedon, you know, thing. And Wonder Woman was good. It wasn't dark at all. You know what I'm saying? And but I was just thinking, I was like, okay, so they're taking Wonder Woman and they're almost acting. I think they're gonna act like the first movie didn't happen, because they're doing a Steve Trevor with the same actor. They were doing, you know, Diana Prince, and she has that funky, goofy outfit, and you know, in the 70s, 80s, right? Mm-hmm. And so, what are y'all doing? You know what I'm saying? As far as DC, you know, you did Suicide Squad, or you're doing a second Suicide Squad, but it's gonna be different people in it, which is fine because that's what happens with Suicide Squad. But does anybody care about the DC universe at this time? You did Aquaman and made $1 billion, and you guys are all excited about that. But are you, that history with Aquaman is on the original history. You know, they mentioned, you know, the Justice League and stuff like that. So it, now you're talking about Birds of Prey, which I don't care. I'm telling you, the only thing DC that I'm excited about is the Joker that comes out in October. With Joaquin Phoenix.
Really?
I am so excited. I'm more excited to see that than Star Wars, and I'm not even playing.
Wow. That's surprising to me.
Trailer looks awesome.
I want to see it too. I actually am really excited about it, and Mike keeps like making fun of me for it.
Really?
It looks like, that looks stupid. I'm like, okay.
Oh my God. Then. It looks next level awesome to me. You know what I'm saying?
I think it looks really good too.
Oh my God. I'm more excited about that than anything else this year. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm a bit more excited about the Joker than even Endgame, you know, because the one thing I don't like about Endgame, and I'm gonna say this shit and screw y'all, is that Endgame wasn't fun like Avengers and the rest of the movies, because okay. It was so sad. Everything was ending, or, you know, people were dying and shit, and it was so dire that I love the movie. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, crapping on it, but, you know, I'm so glad they came out with Spider-Man, which was fun again, you know, after the Avengers, you know. So anyway, I don't know where DC is going. What's the plan? What are y'all doing? You're releasing the Spider-Man movie with this vampire dude, and it's supposed to be like a noir movie, you know. So I have no confidence in them. You know what I'm saying? and this Margot Robbie movie is part. What is that? Is that new? Is that old? You understand what I'm saying, Tiffelbot? It's like weird. What do you think?
No, I like an all-girl team, which is exciting for me. I don't know much about Birds of Prey. You know what I mean? Like, however, I like John Wick and I like a good fight scene. So if they can really take it to that next level, yeah, I don't see why I wouldn't like. You know what I mean? Like, I might not be like running to the theater to see it, but I don't see why I wouldn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I hope, but DC has no direction. There's no big picture for DC. Now it just seems like they had all these ideas and all this money sunk in and shit, and they just like, okay, you know, produce it. Get it out there.
Yeah, they fucked up.
Yeah, you messed up trying to like chase after Marvel so quickly. You should have just took your time and looked at the long game. You got better heroes, man. I'm sorry, you know. Yeah, I said that, damn it. You know,
God, you're going to get people all over you on the internet this week.
You got Batman, you got Superman, you got Green Lantern, you got Wonder Woman. You got the staples of what superheroes are. You know, everybody knows that Marvel just copied off of everything that DC did. You know what I'm saying? Just, oh, y'all got this person, we got this person. Everybody knows that. And but you were so quick to try to catch up with Avengers instead of just taking your time, you know. So I don't know, Tiffelbot. I forgot all about Birds of Prey. I'm just telling you.
Now, fair enough.
Now here we go.
I enjoy John Wick, so I've got some hope for it.
Speaking of John Wick, you know, we won't have time to talk about this next week, but they doing a Matrix 4, Tiffelbot.
Mm. Oh my God.
Mm-mm, with Keanu Reeves. Now I'm excited. I'm excited. They bringing the Wachowskis back. I love the Matrix 1. You can go on somewhere with Matrix 2 and 3. But, you know, a lot of times, since it's been so much time that passed, a lot of times properties find their feet when they've been away for a little. Sometimes they don't. But, you know what I'm saying? It's a good chance that they might. Because I think the Matrix 1 and 2 needs correction. You know what I'm saying? You did the first one. And the second two was just like, what the hell is happening? So I'm just saying, speaking of John Wick, you know.
Sure. I saw The Matrix late. Like, I came to it later than everyone else. I mean, like, years.
So you didn't see it in 1998 when it came out?
No, no, no. I saw it in, like, 2006, I want to say.
All the special tricks that made it special was the old news when you saw it.
Yeah, well, by the time I'd seen it, which is not its fault, it had been parodied so much.
Right.
That I was like, oh, this looks ridiculous to me.
Right.
But I mean, it wasn't a bad movie. I like Morpheus. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. So I would, you know.
You know, speaking of Matrix, you can go into our archives. We did a commentary for Matrix, a 2-part show. Where we started drink. We played a drinking game during it. And boy, oh boy, about halfway through. Woo! I think me and Tiffobot are like serious cussers once we start drinking. You know, we're like, after this. It's like, woo. But people enjoyed that. You know, I got a lot of mail back in the day saying, what's the next movie? And we never did another movie. We probably should do that, man. You know, do another commentary. You know, maybe we should do a Patreon and make people pay for it.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Worth it.
Yeah, you know. So, is that it for the newsy?
That's it for the news.
Okay, so because you did the show notes, I guess it's my time to say, for everything Fans of Patrol, please go to fansofpatrol.com. That is the pinnacle of what Fans of Patrol is. We have everything on there. We have our shows on there. We have archives on there. We have a great article, one article, by Big Pen Ken. I'm trying to get Tiffle about to post some of all the sweet stuff she been doing on there, because it ain't nerd stuff. That don't mean nothing. I don't care if you're talking about Little Miss Muffet. People like it. People interested in you, you know? So anyway, go to fansofpatrol.com. We do have links. I got old links on there. We're like, I still got a link to our Twitch channel, which which I haven't did in 1,000 years. I need to do some minor updates. I have been updating it, but I mean, like, some, you know, some overhaul updates. Also, if you want to reach us and send us a message, you can do that at fans@fansofpatrol.com. And you can also chit-chat with us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, @fansofpatrol. Now, y'all, I know sometimes the messages take me a while to get to. I'm trying to get my co-hosts, both of them, god dang it, to start responding to some of this stuff so I wouldn't have to, you know, be stretched so thin. So, go along with me with the pressure and just start sending in funky comments like, where's Tiffobot? Where's Dwayne? Where's Tiffobot? So if you want to listen to us, man, we're on Stitcher, Satchel, Google Play, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're on Podcoin, where you actually give you money, and that thing is still happening. They give you gift cards when you accumulate enough listens to podcasts, or gift cards to give to charity. So that's a beautiful thing. So if you know, you go to any of those things, especially Podbeam, and you leave us a comment, we'll shout you out on the air and make you famous, man.
Yeah.
So I think that's it, man. That's our social media shout out. We are going to take a break. We're going to come back with Middle West, because it's been a while since we've been in Middle West, and we'll be right back. DJ Bobby. Just want to say a shout out to our homie DJ Poppy, who been doing his things, spinning the wheels of steel all over the world doing his duties. So it's time for the comic, believe it or not, Middle West number.
Yeah, I think it's number 9.
Number 9, because you'll never see me coming. I don't know. I love that shit. I love that. Nobody knows that. That's that Mandarin stuff from Iron Man 3. You'll never see it coming. You know, I just
love. Oh, my God. No, I don't even remember that.
You remember that? You remember Trevor? It was Ben Kingsley. He's like, hello, my name is Trevor. He's like the drunk dude. Anyway, man. So, Middle West, Tiff.
Yes. So, story as always by Scotty Young, art by Jorge Corona, and colors by Jean-Francois Ballou.
Ballou!
So, where we left off last time, Abel had just gotten surrounded by some forest people. And so, back up where we left off.
Chipmunks, too, right? It was like some squirrels.
Some chipmunks that they killed. And then these forest people happen to see, he gets mad, and they see he's marked up, and they say that he has a heart of storm. Mm-hmm. It's like, it was almost like they knew that it was a blessing or a curse. We weren't sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
Then we kind of see, oh, what's the little girl's name?
Bobby.
So Bobby is going to go after Abel, but she leaves her robot friend behind.
Which I didn't like because I really liked the robot.
I did not like that either. That kind of pissed me off. I kind of hope that maybe he meets up back up with her.
Yeah, I like the robot, man.
I did too. I really like the robot. But then we see these forest people and they're discussing what Abel needs to do to get himself cured, or like what, you know, he needs to talk to this ancient animal called the Nokoyuna.
Okay. Wow, that's really damn good, Tiffabot, because I was like, whatever.
So they go on a journey. They meet the Nokoyuna. The Nokoyuna says, hey, I can't cure you. You need to go to the everlasting winter forest.
Mm-hmm.
And I was surprised because the little fox gave him some sass.
Not for long, he didn't.
No, and then the god, it's like a godlike figure. It's pissed. So then they go on their way, and they do a kind of a supercut of his travels. So like, which has kind of made me sad because I was like, I kind of want to see some of these places.
You know, it's a indie comic book. They like, listen, if we do the whole journey, we might lose everybody.
Yes. So he goes through the Ethel Fields of Royalton, mm-hmm. The Dead Field, yeah. And then he gets to the Winter Woods.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're very, very sad. He has to leave his little fox friend behind.
Yeah, I hope the fox friend stays there and Bobby catches up with him.
I do too. But then you hear there's like a little, I won't spoil it because it's not a huge deal, but like we hear him meet somebody.
Yes.
And that's the end. There's a little cliff. As with all the Middle West, there's a little tiny cliffhanger at the end of every book.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this one was really exciting because it propelled the story along a lot further than a lot of the other books have done so far.
Oh, absolutely it did. It really moved it on. I was like, stop, hold up. You know? And it was rolling and it was a lot to it. You know, normally these books are like super quick read if you want them to be. But with this one, you know, it was a little bit more involved and you could read it fast if you wanted to, but it was a lot going on, even with the illustrations and the conversation with the big bear, you know. So it's really moving now, and it's a totally different story than what it was 2 books ago.
Oh yeah, know? And I love that they clearly, one of the things I love about indie books, and you can say this about the arc of a superhero book or any other comic book as well, is if you read an arc. Or an indie book, there's a clear defined story that you're going through. We're going from point A to point B, and that's our story.
Yeah.
And it's nice because you get a package deal. You can tell this is heading towards a conclusion. I hope that book 10 is not the end, but I kind of feel like maybe it is.
No, because
there's
more.
A lot going on.
Yeah. And, you know, the daddy is still out there following
that's
him.
That's true.
You know, and...
and Bobby hasn't found him yet.
Bobby hasn't found him. The daddy is out there. It's a lot that has to culminate together to give us some kind of like conclusion. And you can't do it in one book. If you do, it'd be terrible writing. And we would hate this book forever.
<You know? laughs> but as always, the art is very tight. It's clean. It looks great.
Colors are beautiful.
They have the same person. So it's kind of like a obvious point at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Recommend reading it. It's probably going to go. They have a first collection already. So if you've been listening so far and haven't read it, they have a first. The first trade is out. I would assume the second trade is going to be coming out anytime now since they're about at 11 issues.
Yeah. You know, it's a great thing. Most of the stuff that we have been dealing with on Fans of Patrol has been awesome. And so I have no complaints. You know what I'm saying? All the books we're following right now are good because the last bad thing we were doing was that Wolverine book, you know. And we're done with the Guardians of the Galaxy because that story arc is over with. So we're in search of a new one, man. We got to find something sweet and new to read. I kind of want to read that J.J. Abrams, Spider-Man story they're going to be doing. Is it Spider-Man or Superman? It's one of those that him and his son is going to be doing together. We reported that a while back. So I don't know if it's going to be any good. We might check out the first one. I don't know when that comes out either. But this is dope. Total, total recommend. You can't do yourself a bigger favor by not reading this story, you know.
Yeah, you should pick it up.
And I'm not a indie book fan. That's for sure.
No. So this is a real big endorsement coming from Montego.
Huge, huge. So what we're going to do is we're going to take our final break. And no, that's right. We have another section. What is it? What's dope?
A very small what's dope.
Yeah, we'll be right back. DJ Bobby. All right, man, we are back with what's dope, and I have to be completely honest with you. I don't have nothing that's dope, man. I ain't been doing nothing but playing Division 2 and riding my motorcycle and riding my bicycle and going to work, you know. It sucks. I got nothing dope right now. But TiffleBot,
yeah.
What's dope?
So for me, this is a personal what's dope. It's not like a big news. It's big. It's
dope. Get out of here.
So one of my short stories that you guys can find on the internet, if you are so inclined, was nominated for an award.
Mm-hmm. Applause, please. Thank you.
I haven't won it yet. I might not win it. Probably won't. It's a big award. Like, I mean, as far as like the number of people that are nominated is large. However, yeah, I'm out there.
Yes. And so I was seeing this article all week that had this delicious looking chicken. And I was like, who the hell is Prosen Chicken? I kept just going past it. And then I looked and I said, TiffleBot Chicken. What the hell? And then I looked. I was like, oh, it's our very own TiffleBot. So I posted it. And then it was another story, and I posted it. And I'm like, TiffleBot, post this shit on the website and stuff. Because it's more to just being a nerd than being a nerd, man. You know, creativity is a beautiful thing, man. You know, we all do creative things. Yeah, I think we are a pretty creative crew, man. People don't know. You write poems and stories. I create music. I play instruments. And I'm a creative guy that way. Mm-hmm. Dwayne, he's an artiste. I'm actually an artiste too. So I'm not trying to sound like I'm Prince and do everything. You know what I'm saying?
But perfect. You do.
We are a talented bunch, and it don't have to be nerd related in order to be cool, because making music is not nerd related, but that's what I do. So, you know, please share your stuff with the good fans of Patrol. You people are into different shit, man. You know?
That's true.
Just because that's I'm a true. Nerd don't mean I'm just a nerd only. I don't want to see shit else but this nerd shit. You know? No way. So look out for some of TiffleBot's stuff, man. Hopefully she'll win this contest, man. So that's what's dope. That was quick, y'all. That was quick. We're going to play the transition music anyway. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. DJ Bobby Bobby. All right, man. We are back. The Red Sea Diving Resort. Netflix, man. It's a Netflix original, I believe.
Yep.
And stars a bunch of people, man. The draw was that it starred Chris Evans, Captain America himself. Michael Kenneth Williams. Omar, y'all, from The Wire, man, was in it.
Alessandro Nivola?
Yeah, you remember him from Face Off, man. He was Castor Troy's little brother, and also he played on Sherlock Holmes on the BBC. He was Moriarty, man. So let's see. Yasori Vaza, Greg Kinnear was in this movie. When the last time you seen Greg Kinnear? Ben Kingsley was in this movie, man. And so
Ben Kingsley gets around, man.
Don't he just show up and he, you know something I'm starting to notice about his old ass? He don't age. He looks the same.
He's probably 800 years old right now, and he's
right.
He doesn't look young by any means. Like, you can tell he's an older gentleman, but he looks distinguished, and he looks like he's not aged. I would say he looks like 50, maybe.
Yeah, the dude don't age, man. I've been like, damn, this dude been looking like this when I was a kid. He looks exactly like this. goodness gracious. So let's get into it, man. So right. It's time for my favorite section. One word. Tiff, one word. What you got?
For me, it's surprising.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, surprising. That's a good word. You expect nothing from this bullshit. Okay.
Correct. When Montego told me to watch this, I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. Then when I saw the synopsis, I was like, okay, it sounds like a great story, but maybe kind of boring.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But then I ended up really, really liking it.
It really reminded me of the Ben Affleck movie we watched. With Oscar Isaac, you know.
Oh, where they go to get the money.
Yeah, I mean, it felt like that to me, you know.
It had like a group, like a ragtag group of people. And,
yes,
yeah.
It had that same feel. But for me, my one word would be complexity.
Oh, sure, yeah, I can see that.
Because there was a lot of complexity in this story and a lot of history, and I learned a lot. I know some people from Ethiopia, and... I just want to talk to them about some of the stuff that was I want to talk. Let's talk. So, man, let's get into it. We're going to bust them spoilers because it's spoiler time, our sweet spoilers. And we're going to talk about this stuff. So, movie starts pretty intense, Tiffelbot. You know, you got these refugees, these Jewish refugees fleeing Ethiopia in 1979. Now, if you grew up back then, like I did, Sally Struthers from All in the Family was always on TV, you know, showing these starved little kids, you know, little Damiano from Ethiopia that you should give money to you know, help the relief effort, the hunger. And it used to blow my mind. I used to be like, so there's places on this planet that the people just starving and you got to donate from the telephone so for them to get food. Why won't you just go to some place where there's food? You know, little did I know, I didn't know anything about starvation warfare and stuff like that as a child, of course, because I was probably in second, third grade when this stuff was going on. Actually, in 1979, I was probably in second grade. And, you know, so just for some background, warlords would seize the food and all the donations from places like the Children's Network. So people from the West would donate food. They would seize the food. And the way they were combating their enemies was starving them out. Same thing happened in Sumatra, you know, in the 90s. Starve them out. Take all the food. And so you had all these starving people. Couldn't figure it out as a kid. This movie does a pretty good job at showing you just how rough stuff was at that time. So... Mm-hmm. You know, this is a bunch of Ethiopian Jewish folks who were trying to flee the country, just like in Rwanda and other places in Africa, you know, get the hell out because, you know, these folks go on this purge where they're going to kill anything that's not your same religion. So It starts out intense, little boys out there in the field and stuff like that. Everybody's leaving. And then we're introduced to the white people. And I was so worried when the narrator, you know, started talking about he met some people who didn't look like him who was helping, you know, the Michael Kenneth Williams character. And I was like, please don't let white people be the savior of the black people. Please don't let white people be the savior of the black people. Please don't do this shit, Hollywood. And thank God that wasn't the case. So they show Chris Evans, man, out there doing push-ups. Now, Chris Evans is a problem for me in this movie, Tiffelbot. I'm going to explain why.
Okay. Yes, I would like to know.
He's out there doing push-ups. And this has nothing to do with Chris Evans because I think he acted his ass off and I think he was good. Okay?
Sure.
But he looks like Captain America. Okay? You know, he was just cool. So he had the beard. He had the long hair. He still got the body. And every time I saw Chris Evans doing action in this movie, I felt safe.
You felt like the Cap was there?
I felt like Cap was there, Tiffelbot. I felt like nothing was going to happen. Oh, he can whoop all those dudes with them guns his asses. And I'm not worried about that little kid right there because that's Captain. I'm literally telling you the truth. So in my heart, I was like, oh, this is going to be cool. I felt like there was no stakes because of Captain America. I'm just. So what are you thinking with
look,
this?
He didn't look Captain America still.
He did look exactly like him, you know, yeah. With a flannel shirt, you know. And so they were supposed to be a part of the Mossad, the Jewish
Israeli Mossad,
secret service. And so they were smuggling people out of these countries in droves. And, you know, they had these people and they tried to get them out of there. And they got them out of harm's way initially. And, you know, very sad, you know, when this movie started.
It's hard to watch some of this. I mean, like, and it's a movie, so it's not even like it's real in the way that it's portraying something that really happened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you were to see the reality of this stuff, it'd be so much worse. But I'm just saying, like, even the movie version of this is very hard to watch and sad.
It was very clean for me, though, Tifflebot. And I'm gonna tell you why.
Well, and I think
I was expecting Hotel Rwanda after it got started. I was like, oh shit, I'm gonna be a mess after this. I don't want to see this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Especially with the woman in the river. You know,
that was some of the stuff that happens in this movie is shocking and sad. I mean, like, but you're right. I think the reason why it's so shocking is because the rest of it is very much they keep it on like a very level.
Yeah, because you could have went deep. You could have went deep on all this stuff. And, you know, I think they did a great job. The director did an excellent job at implying a lot of stuff that you didn't have to make us experience this woman getting savagely raped. And then, you know, why she did what she did. You did enough for us to know. And then you moved on. And I thought that was great. I was like, OK, great, because I don't really need to see that, you know.
Right.
Not that I'm afraid to see that. I know. I don't need to
go all the way. But you know what? It's not good for survivors of that stuff either to see that stuff.
Exactly. And so so they have these caravans, man. And, you know, there's all kind of peril and stuff like that going on. And they have these Jewish guys that's white that are helping, you know, the Africans escape these countries. And I think it's great. And I like how Chris Evans is in his real life. It's just a jack up. His marriage is failing. His daughter don't know him, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he is so committed to this cause. And it just makes you think, you know, I'm thinking like, why would somebody like that have a family ever?
Yeah, you know? That's true. You're putting yourself in harm's way all the time. You're never at home.
That, he played the role of Ari. And Ari was cool, but I'm like, Ari, why did you ever have a daughter and a wife and any of that stuff? So we meet Ben Kingsley, man, after they escape. And, you know, well, first of all, we meet Greg Kinnear, who I really like his role as his little CIA liaison. And then we meet Ben Kingsley. And Ben Kingsley is just so cool in that damn suit.
Yes, he's rocking this role, you guys.
Oh, shit, he's perfect. You know, he's like, look, you know, I put myself on a line for you. You're a jack up, but you my boy. You know, have a drink. So he comes up with this new idea to get this resort in, you know, this country, Sudan, right? Sudanese. Mm-hmm. And they're going to restore this hotel and pretend like it's a hotel, but smuggle people out. And I thought it was cool. The intensity. I like the montage when they go collect the people.
I knew you were gonna say that.
You knew I was gonna say that.
Because that is such. I loved it too. That's such a me and you scene. I was like, this. I was like, Montego's loving this.
I did love it. Yeah, I thought it was great. You know, just right because we like the shopping and John Wick and shit that. Right. So when he went and collected the people, I was like, that was great. I liked the assassin that was sitting up there and messed up his pizza. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I'd have been pissed too, man. He made me drop my pizza. He was like, dude, he jacked up my lunch. So they get these people, and I like all the people they collect. I really like the doctor with no fingers, though.
Yes, because the doctor who has a bone to pick.
Yeah, because he's as conscious as we never listens to. He's his Jiminy Crickets, and he never listens to the dude.
Yes.
You know, and I like the scene later on in the movie when they talk about him. Like, dude, you don't listen to shit I say. And I'm always throwing caution.
Yeah, at first I was like, when you watch that scene, it's a great turn because you listen to him talking to him, and you're like, this guy's kind of a douche. Because, like, you're like, Chris Evans just trying to do the right thing. But then you realize, yeah, but he puts people in danger. He doesn't listen. He's not. So, like, you get this emotional turn where you, like, maybe are on one side, but then you're on the other side. it's all over, which is great.
Yeah, like when he busts the blockade. Yeah, dumb move, dude, because you probably could have just parked somewhere, got out of them trucks, and walked across, and then people would have never saw you, you know, is what I was thinking. It was middle of the dark. It was like three guys out there, you know. You didn't have to alert them, you know, and put so much heat on everything. And so, you know, I really like the doctor best friend, man. And I like the fact that they let you know that they were best friends. You know, I don't like when they leave shit like just hanging, you know, you don't know, really know what's happening. So Sammy was cool. You know, Sammy was the conscience of the group. But this was a badass group of people, you know. But so everything, like, you know, I really like, my favorite scene in the movie is when the tourists showed up.
Yes, and then they start doing the hotel stuff. They have some cut scenes. And
yeah, I thought that was so cool because I was like, why not? You know, they bribed a guy to get in there. And once they got in there, they were like, you know, shit, we need to run. And then a guy back in Jerusalem is like, no, I'm not running the hotel. I'm like, why wouldn't you? The more guests you have there, literally, if you were to really spend some money and built that hotel up huge, you wouldn't have any problems. Now, I'm going to tell you my biggest problem with the movies.
Yes.
The antagonist. Now, he plays, that same actor plays Lucius Fox on Gotham. I love him.
Okay.
Now, he's playing the overlord, right? His name is, I think, Chris Chalk. Yeah.
Colonel Abdel Ahmed.
I think he's a problem, right? Because they got so much like human trafficking and all kind of shit going on. So he's doing his thing. But I really think the biggest mistake, and I could be wrong, is that when you have a thriving tourist business, the last thing any country wants to have happen is to have anybody mess that up. And I think when he started coming around with the guns and grabbing a lady and like grabbing her by the vagina and all that shit, I think that they should have called the guy that they bribed. Like, this dude got our, because, you know, it was tourists in there when that was happening in the restaurant.
Right.
I'm like, dude, y'all should have told on him. You should have told on them.
But this is based on a real thing.
It is based on a real thing, and the real people should have told on them, dude. We got guests here.
Maybe that part didn't happen.
He is scaring the shit out of the guests, and tourism is about to die. We got a thriving business, and it's gonna die because you got this overlord coming here with all his soldiers, brandishing guns, grabbing ladies in the crotch, and being a jackass. You know, I don't think it, I think they would have shut him down, Tifflebot. I do. I really do.
I think so, too.
Yeah, but it didn't happen. And like you said, this might be part of the movie. You know, your boy pulls a knife on him and stuff. It was kind of cool. I'm like,
I like that part.
All I heard was, dun 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 dun. I said, get him, Cap. Get him. Get him, Cap. Get him. So anyway, you know, they take off, man. They want to get that last little group of people through, man, you know. And
I did like how they showed you like I can't believe how many people they got across.
I like the shells. I didn't get it at first, Tiff. You know, he was like 675, 3,075. I was like, oh man, they are really, really saving people. Because these people were under like death watch, right? You know, like they're supposed to be protected by the UN. You know, they're given stipends to keep these people alive in camps, but they keep the camps like slums, and then they walked in there and just indiscriminately killed 30 of them just to try to get some information, you know, which is nuts.
That was very sad.
It was.
But it's sad because, like, and it's sad because that's not even a fraction. It's not even a scratch.
No, that was nice and neat. That was really nice and neat, man, you know. That's what I was thinking the whole time. I was like, oh, this movie is really keeping it game. And if you ever want to see some effed up stuff, watch Hotel Rwanda. That one would have you, like, just, like, wanting to jump off the cliff.
I'd be afraid to watch it because it'd probably make me, I don't want to, I mean, like, it's probably a good important movie to watch, but I'd be bawling.
Oh, it's the worst. I mean, I watched that when I was in college. I couldn't even go to class after that. You know, it came on and I was like, what is this? And next thing you know, I missed like four or five classes that day. You know, I was like,
just fucked you up, yeah.
I couldn't go anywhere. Right. So anyway, man, they got to pull him out, man. And so I like that he reconnected with the Greg Kinnear character.
Yeah, and was like, I like that. The good thing about this movie is it's a lot about like how the real hero of this movie is Kabide, or however you say his name, the guy who's like, I'm not leaving without all of my people.
Oh, he wasn't playing. They was up to talk about, you got to leave, and he was like, I'm not. Listen, we all, we, you leave us, we gonna die. And he's like,
yeah.
choose. So they had like seats and like an airline set up for these people.
Oh fuck. when they told that one guy to like, okay, you tell who has to stay behind. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, tear off all the shit off this plane, tear off the floorboards. People going to be everywhere. Yep. Cause ain't no way in the world. I'm not making that decision, you know, but
no.
Now these days, they would just close the doors on those people and just let them, you know.
I know. It's terrifying to think of all the things that do actually happen to real refugees and people in trouble.
I just don't understand why people got to die, especially when they're trying to leave. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're trying to leave. It's not like they're trying to, you know, give Bibles out at the local grocery store. They're literally walking 700 miles to be away from you and... you would prefer them die. It's just nuts to me. Anyway.
It's there's a lot of stuff I don't understand. I'm not as knowledgeable about it as I should be, but all I know is it's just a tragedy, and it's very hard to like hear about that stuff and, you know, in like watching this movie. So they get them out. That's the, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. They make it.
They get all the 400 some odd people, but then, you know, so then the voiceover comes back.
Right.
And he says, you know, he told me he was going to go back, and we did. We went back and we got more people.
Yeah, yeah. He said, well, actually, I think he said we got all of them.
Yes, he said we got all the people. Now, then at the end of this movie, they start showing real pictures and real footage.
It was a trip, wasn't it?
And I cried because it was so touching. I was like, holy shit.
I will tell you one thing. And that the name of that, the warlord, was Chris Chalk. I will say one thing. Nobody looked like Chris Evans.
True.
But, you know, the human spirit, man, of saving these people. Those people are heroes, you know, that perform these duties. And you're right. The hero was my man Omar.
Yes, he really risked everything to save those people, and I when watching this movie, I can't believe it, and nobody died.
Well, people did.
The Navy SEAL.
You mean like from the main team?
Correct.
Yeah. They were badasses though. The one dude was, you know, except for the doctor, but they were all like trained operatives and stuff, you know. So, not to say that they can't die, but I guess it would have been cliche for one of them to die, you know, like, sure. Oh, you know, not everybody's gonna make it. Well, this time everybody did make it.
That's crazy.
You know, I thought it was an excellent movie, and I think if people really want to enjoy something that got some meaning to it, that's not, you know, a superhero with a cape, this was a good movie right here, man.
I would definitely recommend it because I was very surprised. Like, you know how I don't like movies that are long.
Yeah, it was kind of long.
This one went by very quickly. It didn't seem like the 2 hours and 10 minutes. It felt like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it was good, man. I enjoyed it. And again, I couldn't get over seeing Captain America. I felt safe the whole movie. I was like, Cap is going to make it all right, man. But that's it, man. I think we came to do the damn thing. We got it done this week, man. So, what, next week? You know, I was wondering, man, do we want to go to the movies to go see that Guillermo del Toro thing? You know, ain't that out?
Oh, yeah. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Yeah, maybe we should go see that and come back and talk about some scary shit, man. You know, why not? Why not?
All right, let's do it.
You know, let's do it. So, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol, man. With me is the most sensitive one herself, Miss Tifflebot, along with her kitty that y'all heard earlier.
Sorry about that, everybody.
Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
And, there's no... look, I'm looking for Dwayne.
I know.
So until next week, man, we're going to come back with that. And we're going to come back with a butt ton of Disney news from D23. And we got some right now. It's killing me. Like Moon Knight. And She-Hulk. Oh, can't come back to talk about this stuff.
Preview.
Oh, can't come back. Oh, God, can't wait. So we'll be back next week, man. Until then, man, we will be...
On patrol.
DJ Bobby.